I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the second book of Chronicles, to the chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 9 of the chapter. Second Chronicles, chapter 14, and we're beginning our reading at verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Merisha. Then Asa went out against them, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zarephath at Merisha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his hosts, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar from the fear of the Lord, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we turn to thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the blessings that thou dost bestow upon us. And our Father, we thank thee that we might be able to stand even as Asa stood in his day. We pray that we might be the victors in the great fight that we're involved in. We pray, Lord, that thou enables us to see that we're on the victory side for our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and bless us even today as we gather around thy word, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Now, we're thinking about the motto text for 2022, and it's a long one, but we're going to pick something out of the long verse. It's verse 11 there of 2 Kings chapter 14. It says, And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, is it nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power? Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Now, the historical setting of the text there is absolutely unique anywhere in the scriptures, because here the Bible records the defeat of an almost innumerable army. We read about 1 million soldiers, Ethiopians, who came up across the Sinai Peninsula, across the desert, and attacked the children of Israel. We read that not only had they 1 million troops, but we are told that they had 300 chariots. If you look at verse 9, it says, And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000 and 300 chariots. So the 300 chariots there, along with 1 million troops, the chariots of that day were like the tanks of this day. They would have rendered that army probably absolutely unbeatable because of the might and power that was with them. But we see that God raised up a man who was willing to stand against this host. His name is Asa. He was the king of Judah. And we're told that he was a good king. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 2 it says, And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And he did that which was right, like his father David did. He did that which was right, not in his own eyes. Many people today want to do what is right and convenient for them. What is convenient for them to be involved in, or what fits in with their lifestyle. But here's a man, this Asa, king of Judah, and he wanted to do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And how wonderful it is when we have those who want to do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And we see that here was a man who is able to win the victory. The Bible records many victories. We think of those that stood against almost innumerable hosts. You think of Abram, and he went out against the four kings that had conquered Sodom and took Lot alive. And we read that Abram took his 400 men back again and was able to defeat the combined armies of the heathen at that time. You think perhaps of Gideon and his 300 and how they were able to overcome the Philistines. Or maybe you think about Jonathan, how he and his armor bearer climbed up to attack the Philistines on their own. Or do you remember David with his sling and his stone? And these were acts of valor, but they were acts of valor because God was with them in the midst. And how we need the Lord to be with us as we go into 2022. Here was an enormous army, an innumerable host of people, of men, of soldiers, and it seems as if the 585,000 of Asa's mighty army were outnumbered and outclassed. But we read in the verse 12 of this chapter, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So here was this million troops against the 585,000, million with 300 chariots, and yet we read that the Ethiopians fled. What a tremendous victory this was that the Lord gave to the children of Israel. And as I say, we need that victory today. How we need God to step in mighty power as we traverse the year 2022. We need God's power in our families. We need God's power in our communities. We need God's power in the workplace. And how we need God's power in the church, in the local assembly. We need the power of God here today. And that's very much what we read of in this portion of Scripture. We read how Asa puts his trust and puts his strength and leans his all upon the Lord and is able to do what seemed to be absolutely impossible. And we come to serve the God of the impossible today. He says here, we rest in thee, and in thy name we go. And that was a long model text. We're only going to take part of it, really. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in on thee, and in thy name we go. And if we can learn to rest upon God the way that Asa did in this incoming year, then we have nothing to fear. So let's see what the text of Scripture reveals about the way to victory as we look at Asa here in this portion of Scripture. And first of all, I want you to see something about the character of God's power. Because as we look at the text here, you can see that Asa, really this is a cry. It says that Asa cried unto the Lord his God. And this is a prayer in the text. But as he prays, you can see the way that he's depending upon, or that he is really relying upon, the power of God. And you can see what he says about God's power. Well, you can see that he believes that God's power is undiminished. It is not waned. It has not become any less over the years. Because he says, look at the words, he says, "It is nothing with thee to help." If we help somebody, our strength diminishes. If we go out to labour for somebody, Then, as time goes on, our strength gradually gets less and less, and by the end of the day, we're not able to do much more of helping because our strength diminishes. And maybe even if you spend a little time, if you do a little deed, it takes some of our strength. And by the end of the day, we're tired. Our strength has been taken from us. But it's not the same with the Lord, because the Lord's strength never wanes. It never gets less. It never weakens. It never ages. There are no wrinkles on the brow of the everlasting God. The Ancient of Days is as strong today as he ever was. The mighty God of the universe still has the same power that brought the universe into existence. And his power and his strength is undiminished and undiminishable. You know, you hear the contemporary cries of the liberals in this day. And if you were to listen to them, you would think that the strength of God had completely gone. When you look at listen to the theologians and the church leaders, you'd think that God had changed, that he wasn't able to do the same that he did for Asa in his day, that he isn't able to do the same as he did in the days of Elijah or the prophets. He is the same as he ever was. You know, we think of the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And if you look at verse 28 of Isaiah chapter 40, there's a wonderful verse that comes to us as we start the years. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." Not something to remember. He says there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So thank God today that the Lord's power is not waned, it's not become less, it hasn't diminished in any way, it will not diminish down through the course of this year, and we can depend upon the same God and the same strength as we come. But not only is God's power undiminished, but I want you to see that God's power is unlimited, because he says that he can operate no matter how many or how few there are that are with him, or who are his people or his servants. He says in the text of Scripture, "It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power." So God's power is the same whether he is operating with many or with few, whether he's operating with those that have mighty strength and abilities, or whether he's operating with those that have no ability at all. That doesn't matter to God. Our power and our strength will certainly be diminished, and our resources will be different, and they will be used up. But God is absolutely sovereign. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, or how few or many, but he is still the same. The psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." There's an Australian missionary told a thrilling story about the Lord's special care for him when he was on a journey, a dangerous journey by foot. And he was out in the middle of the desert, really, and he was carrying a large sum of money. And there was a bandit, really, who was waiting for him along a spot in the road that he was travelling. But as he got near the spot, the missionary felt the need to pray and to seek the face of God. And he prayed aloud to God and prayed for protection from the Lord as he walked along. And the bandit saw him and he heard him speaking. And he wasn't expecting to meet a number of folks. He felt he was counting on the man, the missionary, being alone. But when he heard all the voices, or the voice, he felt that there must be somebody else there, and so he abandoned his plan to rob the missionary. Now, he told that story to somebody, and the missionary gradually got to hear about what had happened. And he saw how that God had prompted him to pray aloud just at that very time. And he could see that God's power and God's protection was there to meet him just at the point of his need. And you think of Jonathan, for example. And Jonathan clambered up with his armor bearer up to face the Philistines, the whole Philistine army, on his own, just him and the armor bearer. But what did he say? He said, "There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And you know, when we look at the few, and when we look at our resources, and when we look at all those things, you know, the world would scorn us. The world would count us to be beneath contempt. The devil would laugh at us. And the devil would discount us in many ways. But you know how many times we have in the Bible, when God took up the weak things to confound the things that are mighty. When God used, for example, the jawbone of an ass. Do you remember when the Syrian army came to arrest Elisha the prophet? And you remember how he was in Dothan, and the army had surrounded the house where he was, and Elisha's servant was absolutely petrified, and he said, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" And you remember what Elisha said? He said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And when the eyes of the servant were opened, he saw the hosts of the Lord round about. And the Lord encamps round his people. The Lord is there to help us, whether by many or with them, or by those that have no power. The Lord's power is undiminished and it is unlimited. But then I want you to see something else about his power. It's undetached in the sense that he doesn't detach himself from the men. Why do we say that God is able to do mighty things no matter how many he has or who he has? Yet it has always been the way of God to use human instruments. He says here, "It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power." And you see the implication that man, God does work through men. Doesn't matter whether there are many or whether we have no power, but the Lord still works through us. Now, there are times in the Bible when it seemed as if the Lord worked by himself. For example, you think about when the children of Israel came to the banks of the Red Sea and they had no way of going. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And he said, "Stand ye still and see what I will do for you today." And it was the Lord that did it for them. And yet the Lord said to Moses, "Lift up your rod." Now why did the Lord want Moses to lift up his rod? Moses, the Lord didn't need Moses to lift up his rod in order to part the Red Sea. And yet the Lord was pleased to use Moses to lift up the rod as a signal that he was using, he was working, as it were, with Moses and through Moses to some extent. And you can see the way that the Lord did that. When it came to Jericho, the Lord came as the captain of the host. And it was the Lord that caused the walls of Jericho to fall flat. But he told his people to go round the walls 7 days and 7 times on the 7th day. That wasn't going to do anything. God didn't need that. But he was pleased to use people. And he still is. He is able. And we can't make an excuse to say, "Well, the Lord is sovereign and he's power and he's able to defeat 1 million Ethiopians and he can do it today and we need do nothing." No. God wants you and me to be in the midst of the multitude. You'll see what Asa says here in the text. He says, in thy name we go against this multitude. He's going in the name of the Lord, but he is going. He's going. He's going into the fight. You remember how in the Bible, when the children of Israel were going through and they were fighting, they said, in the name of God, do we set up our banners? And there was a twofold responsibility. There was God's name, but then there was the setting up of the banners. There's the two things. There is the power of God, but there's also our responsibility. We think of the verse in Psalm 34 and verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We'll not be desolate this year if we're serving him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And that's what Asa was doing here in this portion of scripture. He says, in thy name we go. And as we go into this incoming year, we go in the name of our God. So we see the character of God's power. But then I want you to see Asa's confidence in God's power. As Asa thinks and contemplates about the power of God, I want you to see that he's filled with confidence and faith here as he goes out to face this mighty host. As we say, he says, we rest on thee. Augustine was a famous 4th century theologian. Before he was saved, he was a man who was given to all sorts of vile sin, and he lived a desolate life. And one of the things that he sought for was status and power. And he thought that if he could have status and power, that it would make him happy. And then Augustine felt and began to discover the reality that there was no happiness and peace in these things. And he said this, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. The heart of man is restless. We are restless because we know, man knows at the bottom of his heart that there's something better. That man is designed for something more, for something deeper. And we've lost that. And the whole of man's condition, he thinks that he can get back to the state of bliss and this state of paradise. And he's seeking for it and working for it. And he thinks today that by his woke ideas that he'll bring in some new era and some new world and a resetting of things, and it'll bring in an era of bliss. But man never learns the lesson that our only rest is found in the God who made us. We rest on thee. And you know, we rest today upon the God of pardon. We rest on the God who is able to still the conscience. I think about John Wesley. His restless heart found rest in God. You remember how John Wesley was so religious? He would pray and he would read the scriptures. He went on missionary efforts to win the Indians in America to Christ and all the rest of it, and failed. And he came home. He was a failure in Georgia and America. And he came home and he said, I went to America to convert the Indians. But who shall convert me? And then shortly after his arrival back in England, Wesley gives a description of that event. And he wrote in his journal, and I quote, in the evening I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldergate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. An assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Oh, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in Thee, the God of pardon. And if you want pardon of soul and conscience, is at rest today, you'll find it in the God of heaven. Not only is He the God of power, but He's the God of, or God of pardon, but He's the God of power. He alone can provide for our needs. You know, sometimes God's people live on experiences. The experiences of the past, the times that we met with God. But you know, we can't trust in experiences. We can't trust in the past and past victories. We need new victories. We need victories this year. We need an experience with God, a meeting with God this year. The hymn writer said, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Don't be trusting in others. Others will let you down. Don't be trusting in past experiences, for those experiences are past. But we need to trust God. We rest on Thee. That's what the Asa the king was saying here in this portion of Scripture. And I hope that you're resting on Him, not in something in the past. Not in denomination or what you are, but you're resting in Him. He's the God of power and the God of pardon, but He's the God of provision. He'll provide for us in this incoming year. I remember when we were in what is called now the exegesis class in the theological hall. We knew it as English Bible at the time, but nevertheless, in my time in the theological hall, we started in the exegesis class in the book of Isaiah, and when I finished, we finished in the book of Malachi. But one of the verses that I was struck by as we were doing these studies was the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3 and verse 17. And it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. We think of the disappointment there and the misery. But the prophet is not down and miserable. He says, even though there's no flocks or herds or crops, he says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We rest in Thee. Others may let us down, and circumstances may come that we never thought about. The very devils of hell may come against us, but those devils are subject to the law and the power of Almighty God. We rest on Him. All lasting joys, all lasting peace is in Him. We see something then of the character of God's power and the confidence that we have from God's power. But one more thing that I want you to see, and that's the capturing of God's power. We say that we want this power, we want this victory as we enter into this year. How do we get it? How can we lay our hands upon this power? We think of the children of Israel when they came against Jericho and God gave them the victory. And then they went up against the little town of Ai and they were completely defeated because they weren't resting on God. What is the secret? The secret to this power is resting upon God. And it says here at the start of the text that Asa cried unto the Lord his God. There's the secret. It is in prayer. It is in crying to God. It's asking for that power. It is simple here that Asa cried unto the Lord for his blessing. And we're not going to get it through all sorts of discos or bowls in the church hall or ping pong or pool or whatever it is. We get this, that through the place of prayer, we need God's people to be on their knees. And that's how we are going to have power in this incoming year. And you notice that as Asa comes to the Lord in prayer, he comes with a sense of a proper relationship. He cried unto the Lord, his God. He had a proper relationship with the Lord. The Lord was his God. Like the psalmist, he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord yours today? Has he washed you in his own precious blood? Are you able to say that you're saved and washed in the precious blood of Christ today? Are your sins forgiven? Are you on the way to heaven? Do you know that blessing of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here is a man who cried unto the Lord, his God. But he not only cried out of a proper relationship, but with proper reliance. Asa cried unto the Lord, his God. And you'll notice in your Bible that the word Lord there is in capital letters, which means in the Old Testament, it speaks of Jehovah. It speaks of the I Am, the covenant God, the unchanging God. He is our covenant God who fulfills the promises. The Bible says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. He's the God of power. And if we come asking our God who does not change and has promised to be with his people and has given as many promises in his covenant mercy, then we can rely upon those promises. We come with proper reliance. And then you notice that he came with proper resolve. He cried. And that would indicate not an old dry prayer, but something that came from the heart. You know, here he was, and he cried. He cried with all his heart, with his full voice, perhaps. You know, sometimes we don't like loud prayers, and some people will say, God's not deaf. But you know, sometimes in the midst of everything, we can cry out with that loud voice because of the earnestness. Remember Dr. Paisley telling about a man in the Ravenhill Church, and he always used to pray very loud. He said you would have heard him at the Albert Bridge Road. And he said somebody complained about this man. She says, could you not get him to stop? And Dr. Paisley said, what my problem is getting people to start to pray. He says, I'm not going to get them to stop. And you know, if we had that zeal, we can say a lot about Charles Finney. Charles Finney was the revival preacher. And we can say a lot about his methods. Maybe they weren't that right. But there was an old man that was known by the name of Father Nash that used to pray for Charles Finney. And the thing was that if there was a chair, by the end of the prayer meeting, he would have the chair battered in pieces, and the pews and everything, he would batter them in pieces. Such was his vehemence in the place of prayer. And you know, if we had that vehemence in our place of prayer, that real desire to call unto God, we wouldn't mind about the furniture. Asa says here, Lord, help us. Not our prayer, not our prayer for our province, for ourselves. As we enter into this year, Lord, help us. And the Lord did help him. You see here, Dr. Parker, the commentator, said, having risen from his knees, Asa and his men launched themselves against the Ethiopians and were mighty as men who answer straw with steel. They fought in God's name and for God's cause, and the thousands of the Ethiopians were as nothing before the terrible stroke of men that had studied war in the school of Almighty God. They won the victory. They had victory. And isn't it a wonderful thing to say, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go. And may that be our watchword and our rallying cry as we seek to serve the Lord in this incoming year. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Now, we're going to turn to Him, and I have obviously written down the wrong numbers again, but Glenn can keep me right again. 724, I think. Yes. Yes, 724. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as His power and knows neither measure nor end. We'll stand to sing this hymn. There's only two verses in the hymn. And let's sing with all our hearts as we close. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wouldst bless us now as we meet around Thy table. We pray that we might know the sense of the presence of the Lord with us, and we just praise Thee for that which is to come, and we trust Thee for the days that lie ahead. Bless us now, and be with those that must go just now, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.